Let's do this, the Cult of Hockey podcast, by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David. How are you doing?
Yeah. Minor Hockey's week is here. Bruce and both my teams won their first game tonight, and other Great. Than that, so that was really good. That was, and one of them was a fantastic win, 1-0.
Against wow.
Determined to beat us, and they came very close to doing so. Determination, Bruce. That's an interesting word tonight, because man, that is not what I saw from the Edmonton Oilers. Lack of talent, lack of determination, and the Oilers lost the game they should have won against the depleted team. You know, it's like an AHL plus team in Arizona right now with their injuries, and the Oilers couldn't beat them. They got outchanced 8-7. They got outplayed. They got outworked. They got outlucked. They got everything. So it's our two numbers, or two good things, two bad things, and two numbers podcast, Bruce. What's your good thing?
My good thing is tonight is my new friend, Kalen Young, who was the winner of Air Canada's promotion. And I was involved in this promotion tonight, so I actually got to attend this game in person, got to see the Oilers' inadequacies up close and in the flesh. But I also got to meet this terrific kid, Kalen, who won a contest, who has had something of an underprivileged life to this point. He's 13 years old, and he's one who wasn't able to afford to play hockey in his family. And this program called Heroes came through and provided, they look after providing equipment, nice time, and so on for some kids in disadvantaged situations. And he's now his third year playing hockey.
And cool. Well, was he in Minor Hockey Week today then?
I don't think in Minor Hockey Week, and I'm not quite sure what the structure is of Heroes. I had a nice chance to interview Kalen, but in a very noisy arena. It was and I asked him a whole bunch of different types of questions. So I didn't get like the full structure of how his team competes at the minor hockey level, but I do know that he plays hockey and plays in a, you know, he's recognized as something of a team leader, and is just seemed like a good, solid all around person. And it was kind of nice to get to know him and see him win not only a chance to see the Oilers play in Edmonton tonight, but also a chance to see the Oilers play in Las Vegas on March 17th. How's that for a prize?
Was he going?
He's going with
cool.
his mom.
Very nice. Yeah, well, minor hockey Deanna. Is fantastic for kids. It's being on a team is a great experience, and learning to work as a group, and good for Kalen for getting involved in that, and for the people who sponsor that program for doing so. Excellent work. Minor hockey is very expensive, Bruce. When we see a really good player, there's an expression when let me see if I get it right here. When you see a really good player, it's like watching money burn front of your eyes, because the lessons are so expensive for hockey. So my good thing, Bruce, was Kara. I thought that Jujhar Kara was one of the few guys hustling out there, like really hustling, and had a few good moments, and played well overall. Puck protecting. It's one of the few people who works well with Puljujärvi, tries to set him up, and did so. They had one decent scoring chance, one of the Oilers' few scoring chances. So I was impressed with Jujhar Kara tonight on an Oilers team where there was too many passengers and too many people brought their B, C, or D games. Jujhar Kara brought close to his A game, so good for him.
Oh. I didn't see it as many people seem to have, and maybe on TV it looked different. I didn't see it as a game that lacked effort, but it certainly lacked execution. And they just were never able to get going, you know. And anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Well, there was a lot. There were some moments. There were certainly people who looked like before Draisaitl got on McDavid's line, I thought he was, I don't know what it is. He just seems to coast around. God, he was not moving his feet. Lucic, certainly on the goal, the first goal, I think it was, he was not, the point shots wide open. He was puck watching. There's mental errors. And, you know, mental errors are part of sharpness, which is a part of effort. And
it's part of execution also. But
it's part of, yeah, it's about being on the ball and being on your toes and playing on your toes. And the others just were not doing that. The effort wasn't there. And, you know, you can say the talent's not there, especially in the forwards and some of the defense as well. They can't make a play. They can't make an offensive play if their life depended on it. And it's catching up to the Oilers, Bruce. It's wide open to make the playoffs this year. They're still just 2 points back from the last wild card spot. But, you know, so this is my bad thing, was a lack of effort tonight from a number of players. And it was just a really frustrating game to watch, because
that's for sure.
When the Oilers are down 1-0, Bruce, there's this horrible sense that they just can't come back unless McDavid scores. There's just no one who's going to do it. And I find myself sitting there and in watching the games, hoping with someone other than Connor McDavid get a goal. Will someone step up? Some other line. And one line did. Nuge was in on a goal there, which was a nice goal. Mm-hmm. Nice play by Nuge. But, man, there's just shift after shift. And I just get, you know, Lucic and Brodziak and these players. And, you know, Lucic did have a couple of good games there, but it's just been a season of woe where the Oilers' offense gets sucked into the black hole surrounding that player right now. Sorry to say that, but it's true. Nothing's happening out there. Anyway, Kevin Gravel just has nothing going on the attack. Matt Benning, they didn't hurt the team at all, but some people got to help the team by making a good play, and I didn't see that. And it was just a very frustrating game to watch. What's your bad thing, Bruce?
All of that. Well, my bad thing is sort of a general observation, and it came from, I was sitting in the attacking zone tonight for two periods. So it was only the one period, the second period, where I was at the defensive end, and it was just striking to me at how terrible the team is at making a decent first pass to get out of their own zone. And nobody was making one. I mean, Jones, that's about the best one they got right now in his, 10 NHL games or whatever. That's already the best passer on the defense. And, you know, he didn't have a game that was anything special. And nobody else could move the frickin' puck. And they just got stuck in their own end for time and again, where they just could never get out because they couldn't, A, win a battle cleanly, and then B, make a decent pass where they came out through the neutral zone with any speed. And there's just no cohesiveness or flow to the, to even get to the neutral zone, let alone through it and into the Arizona. And when you're playing against a team that was missing six starting players like Arizona was, to go up against, I mean, they're a team of scrubs at the best of time, Arizona. They have been for years, and they frustrated the Oilers for years. All those Dave Tippett teams that, you know, beat us like 25 straight times or whatever the hell it was. And it was one of those games that, man, I mean, to lose a home game, Oilers, you're supposed to win those, and you're supposed to come out and they just couldn't get out of their own way. And related to that, because this was the second period, most importantly, all three periods, the Oilers didn't really start the period very strongly at all. In the first period, they were outshot 4-0. In the second period, they gave in two goals in the first 3 minutes when they couldn't ever get out of their own end for a whole shift and then a whole power play. And then in the third period, the game winner was scored at the 1:54 mark. And that's all the goals in the game were scored in the first 3 minutes of periods. And, you know, you got to be ready to start the damn game and the period. And it's been a problem for a while. And tonight it was sort of seemed to be feeling their way into it a little bit. And then the red light would go on.
Yeah. It was a really rough game to watch. There's been a lot of them, too many. So my bad thing, Bruce, I didn't like Cam Talbot on any of those goals against, honestly. And I know some people are saying this, just bad luck and this, that, and the other thing. But the first one was a shot from outside.
That was brutal.
There was some people flying, but he's got to have that. And then What happened on the second one?
I hit the guy in the face and went in. Oh, yeah, but it was going in anyway.
But Bruce, he missed the. It was already past Talbot when it hit the guy in the face, right?
Yeah, I think it was in the net. I think it was going in the top corner, and it wound up bouncing.
Yeah, that was another outside shot, and that he lets past him. And then the third one, that was a tough break, but the bottom line is he lost track of the puck. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line, and that's a mistake. So all three of the goals, maybe the last one, I'm least up. You know, the last one was just so frustrating. It's just like a bad bounce, bad break. Although Nuge lost the faceoff and lost his man to the net, mm-hmm. That's as much on Nuge as anybody. But Talbot, if you don't get any kind of goaltending, and they really didn't that game. Like he made a couple big saves. They did get a little bit of goaltending. He made a couple big saves, but you can't let in these outside shots like that, like these B-grade scoring chances. They're killing the Oilers, and they have been through this whole losing streak. I know that the defense hasn't been great, but the goaltending has been decidedly mediocre, and it's going to be an easy decision, I think, to play Koskinen.
Yeah, well, he got beat that one shot between the blocker and the body, and there's just too many that are finding holes. You know, that aren't picking corners, but they're going somehow through Talbot like that one did.
Yeah.
And he made some nice saves at various points in the game. Well, he had a hell of a time freezing the rebounds. Like there was always sort of aftermath and follow-up chaos after those saves. And in one case, I mean, leading up to the Osterley goal, there was a chance, or he made a save, but he couldn't cover the rebound, and then they couldn't ever get out, and they had, guys that were stuck out for too long, and it was, they need A+ net mining, or A net mining, or at least A- net mining.
Yeah, so that was my number was three. Yeah. Did I say that? Did I make that clear? Three mistakes on each of the goals against by Talbot, so that was my number.
Is that your number or is that your bad thing?
That was my bad thing was the lack of effort.
Oh, all right. And okay.
My number was three, which was the three mistakes on goals against by Cam Talbot as I saw it. And I know I put that out on Twitter and some people were really mad at me for suggesting this was Talbot's fault, but if those were two B chances and I think they were, then it's actually the chances were seven grade A chances. Right. And they got three goals on seven grade A chances. That's not acceptable goaltending at the NHL level, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to that lost faceoff, you know, David, it's such a fine line, you know. And the NHL, like the margins are just so razor thin. And you could say tonight, I mean, they lost this game by one goal. And Arizona got two that were kind of very ugly bounces. And the Oilers are in a horrible shit streak of bad bounces going into their net. It's happened five times in the last three games that they've had. Weird, unfortunate. I mean, normally you'd see five goals like that in 30 games, maybe, not three. It's just there's a huge cluster of them right now. And sure, they're running around their own end and stuff, and the puck's going to wind up in your net sometimes, but not that often. Like they're really having an unfortunate run right now.
Here's the
one margin.
Bruce, they had zero grade A chances in the third period. The Oilers.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I don't think Kemper had any work to do in the third period, and the Oilers were trailing almost the whole period. And they had, here's another margin. They lost by one goal. They get a goal scored against them. They do an offside challenge. The challenge itself is overruled by, I mean, what was it, Billimeter one way or the other? I mean, I thought technically it was offside, but the linesman didn't agree on their 10-inch tablet. And now the punishment for getting the call wrong is a power play, and they scored on the power play, and the Oilers never led again after that. So it went from 1-0 ahead to 2-1 down on that streak. And then the third one, the game winner. Situation is it's 2-2. Kyle Brodziak, the one right-hand shot center on the team, happens to be the guy who takes the penalty. So they go down, they have to take a face-off in their own end. Now they don't have another right-hand shot center on the team because Ryan Strome is in New York, the guy that would normally be the automatic guy to take that draw on the right-hand dot in the face-off, right? But the GM saw fit to trade him couple of months ago, and the balance that they had between righties and lefties in the center spot is gone. And that, like I say, razor thin margin. You can say a right hand shot, he might not even won that draw, but he wouldn't have been beat so clean as Nuge did, that allowed the guy to wind up and just hammer a drive right from the middle of the slot, right off a face. I mean, it took him 4 seconds to score on the power play, and that included a shot that bounced off the end boards and in. So that's how.
Is this an extra bad thing from you, Bruce, or is this? Was this your?
Well, number? That's
what's your number
related to your comment?
Okay, what's
my number is
that was a very good point. I might add, though.
Worth making. 5-0 is my number.
Okay,
that's special teams. Arizona had 1:56 on the power play tonight. The Oilers had 2 minutes on the power play. Arizona had 5 shots and 2 goals. I might add, and the Oilers had no shots. Their power play got outshot. They passed the puck around nicely and nicely and nicely and nicely and nicely some more, but they never shot the frickin' thing. And nobody ever got in the blue paint. Nobody ever got in the blue paint. And they were just reluctant. And it's not just they pass it around, they stop it and then they pass it. So there's never a one-touch pass. There's never anything that gets the guys moving out of the lane. So when they did look up to see if there was a shot, there was always a guy in the lane. And you got the extra man. I mean, somehow you got to beat that. Get the open guy, and the way to do that is either a cross-seam pass that doesn't get intercepted, or it's a quick 1-2 around the horn where the puck is moving quicker than the defenders can adjust, and the Oilers did neither of those things.
Draisaitl passed up a couple chances on one power play to drive the puck, and one really good chance.
The one power play, yes.
Yeah, the one power play. And he passed up one really good chance to shoot. And I think, I don't know if fans were booing. I thought I might have heard some booing on that, but they were moving.
Shoot. They were saying shoot, David, shoot. Like they usually do. Shoot. And they were right.
Yeah, they were right.
Well, Connor and Leon, here's my other number, had one shot between the two of them. It went in. But if those guys aren't getting shots, the Oilers ain't getting wins.
Nice pass by Ty Ratty, and I really like Ty Ratty playing with McKinnon because Ty Ratty can make a play, and I think Ty Ratty should be. I don't think Chiasson's the right guy with McDavid. I don't think he can keep up at even strength. I don't mind Chiasson on the power play, but even strength, I think Ty Ratty is a good fit with McDavid, and I'd like to see them stick with that. So,
he's a bit of a greasy guy, like not so much physical, but he just grinds that puck. He doesn't give up on the puck, and he makes smart passes.
Yeah, if you were to bench some guys, Ratty wouldn't be on the list. I mean, Toby Reeder at this point should be benched. Lucic should be benched. They can't bench Brodziak because they don't have another center. But those two wingers at this point.
Ryan Strom is in New York.
I didn't mind Spooner. Like Spooner.
Spooner, yeah, he's at his moments.
He was okay. But Lucic and Reeder, you could sit like both those guys. And see who else. Call up Cooper Marody. I keep pushing them. I like Cooper Marody. He's got good hands. At least he can make a play.
It's the right shot center, too.
Reeder just – I heard Ray Ferraro on Gregor's show the other day, and Ferraro was saying he'd seen Reeder in the playoffs, and he just watched him, and he thought, this guy is nothing. He's not close to being an effective NHL player with the Kings last year. He's just not close. And that's what – you know, for the first month, I thought, oh, he's looking good and he's hustling. But in the last month, he's not been close to being a useful.
He had 7 assists in 6 games at one point. And at this stage, 45 games into the season, and he's played 31 or 2 of them. He missed a stat. His stats for the season are 0 goals and 7 assists. Like, he's had no other points in the entire season except for that one little run.
Yeah. All right. Let's
very ineffectual was the takeaway I had of Toby Reeder from this game. He just was not dangerous, and he wasn't particularly useful at winning battles and moving the puck forward even, you know. So,
is Yamamoto close?
He came up, played one game, and he's been on IR for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay, let's leave it there, Bruce. Thanks for talking.
All right. Sun will rise tomorrow morning, and some people will say when it does, fire someone into it. And I won't name any names, but you can fill in that blank. But yeah,
well, the people saying that are the 99 people saying that, Bruce, are 99% of Oilers fans. Yeah, let's just do that. And of course, we all know who they're talking about.
Yeah, we sure do. Anyway, okay. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.